a few others as we go along. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I want us to take note that for unto us, as we've been learning, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And note that, the eternal Son of God is given to us. The child is born, but the eternal Son of God takes on human form as a child and is given to us as a son. In other words, he comes into this world. He comes into a world that, frankly, is not deserving of him. He comes into a world that only he can make right again. He comes into a world that's totally separated from God the Father. Completely separated. And this is not something that we think often of. We don't think much about it. But that outside of Christ, we are separated from God. And we need to really understand this. There are some fundamental matters that we need to understand if we want 2017 to be a great year. And one of the first fundamentals is that we understand who we are before God. And who we are before God is a people who have been redeemed by the grace of God. And for that, we give great thanks. The old emergency signal, there you go. Some of you must need to give your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an emergency. So for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and look at this, the government will be on his shoulders. We've just gone through a racking 18 months where we've all stood on separate corners of the boxing ring and we've lashed out at each other and we've carried on and we've said, look at this man and look at that man and this is who we should vote for and this is who we shouldn't vote for. Well, the fact of the matter is that the believer by nature is apolitical because he belongs to another kingdom. All right, we belong to another kingdom. And we will do what God tells us to do. We will vote for who we believe we're meant to vote for. And that doesn't mean to say I'm going to vote for the same person you voted for. But the fact beyond that is that the government is on his shoulders. That's something, that's a fundamental that we need to go into 2017 with. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Mighty God. He will be called Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And we finished on the Prince of Peace. Ryan finished with the Prince of Peace last week. And what he had brought to us was, how can this babe, who's called a son, how can he be Almighty God? How can he be the Everlasting Father? Well, the fact of the matter is that Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, sent him as a perfect representation of himself into this world to represent that aspect of God in this world. Now, I want you to remember that because it's really important that Almighty God sent his Son into this world to represent him in this world. You got that? Because it's important that you remember that. You see, what happened after that was, you see, inevitably, if you want to put it this way, Christmas always leads to Easter. All right? Christmas always takes the baby to the cross. Sorry. I don't want you to be sobered up by it, getting rid of all that festivity and all of that. No, we're meant to rejoice. But the baby leads to the cross. Just understand that. The baby leads to the cross because the cross leads to resurrection. All right? The cross leads to resurrection. And as the Lord comes to us, takes a hold of us by his initiative, Jesus speaking, remember, he's either telling the truth or he's a lunatic or he's a liar. All right? So Jesus speaking, he says, I've come into this world and I don't come to condemn this world because it's already condemned. That's a given. It's already condemned. This world is condemned. It's separate from God. It was created to be with God. It separated itself from God and must walk in that responsibility. But the Bible says, while we were yet at enmity with Christ, he came to save us. All right? He came. Even though we were enemies of God, he came to save us. That's why the babe came. That's why the Son came, took on the form of humankind for very good reasons, which I'm not going to go into today, but for very good reasons. And so what happens is at the cross, he becomes a perfect sacrifice for us. And it's because of that perfect sacrifice that he is able to, the blood that was shed by his sacrifice was used to wash all who call upon the name of the Lord and make them clean. Their sins become whiter than snow. That which separated us from God prior to the cross, well, the blood that was shed on the cross reunifies us with God again, because we're able now to enter into the presence of God, and it was not by chance. Jesus was born not of the human will by a father. He was born by the Spirit of God. That's in John 1. And so it didn't happen by chance. It was a deliberate choice on God's behalf, and that's why we're no longer orphans. We're no longer separate from God as orphans without a father, but through Christ Jesus, we're brought into fellowship with the Father, and we're able to say that, and we're able to sing that we're children of the risen Lord, because our hearts are full of the change that has taken place in our hearts. We've been changed from the inside out, you see. Now, that's all well and good. It doesn't stop there, because it goes on. You see, one of the very important statements of history, one of the creeds, it was a creed that was established a little bit later, was this, that Jesus Christ, he returned to the Father in heaven. Right? Fact. Right? The Father and the Lord Jesus Christ both sent his Spirit into this world. See, Jesus Christ had to go. He said that, didn't he? John 14, 15, 16. He said that. I've got to go, guys. I've got to go. I can't stay here with you. Thomas, I can't stay here and show you the way. I have to go. But I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Right? I'm going to place my Spirit. If I go, the Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And he'll take up residence right in your heart. And he will lead you and guide you into all things. See? So the Father and the Son. Now, I like this because in these days of people's self, self-engineering, the self-engineering that takes place of truth. You know, where religious truth is like a smorgasbord sitting on a plate, and you pick what you want, you know, and you disregard the rest. It's kind of a self-engineering. You know, we engineer what we want to believe. We need to listen to what God says is the truth. Right? And so it's so important to me that you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in perfect union. Right? And I love the statements about the Trinity, because they can be applied to marriage. They can be applied to the fellowship that we can have amongst each other. Even though we might sometimes lay back and take a good sweep. You know? You said what? Oh, hold my arm down. Don't do that. We're in church. You know? Not meant to do that to the fellow, you know, John and I sometimes, right? We, you know, we contend for different things sometimes, don't we? And we get together to talk about these things, you know? But you know, Mike and I, we're out lifting and we'll be talking about different things, and sometimes I reckon he wants to pick up one of those bars and whack me with it, you know? That's not true, is it, Mike? That's not true at all. No, it's not. But you know, here we are, we're human beings and we're all different, but we're filled with the same Spirit of God and sent to us by Father and Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as much as they cooperated in Genesis 1, creation of the world, are cooperating in enabling us to be the Spirit-filled people that He wants us to be in 2017. I was with my son-in-law Brian last night. Well, both of them, the families, were having dinner. And Brian let us know that there had been an attack in Istanbul. And it just blows me away. Some guy dresses up as Santa Claus and he walks into a nightclub packed with 600 people and just shoots to death some 35. Can anybody give me some understanding on this? I know it's got to do with the religious nature of fallen man. I know that. but that still doesn't explain how a person crosses over into that territory where they would actually do such a thing. You know? Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning. And it's happened again. And so when folks, I get this opportunity to speak on New Year's Day, and I tried to give it away to Ryan. I'm going to talk in generalities, and he's going to be more specific next week. But and then when something like that happens last night, it makes this job today pretty hard. I'll tell you why. Because folks have said 2016 was a rotten year. Right? Well, I can't promise that for them. 2017 is going to be much more different. I really can't. I can't. And I can't stand up here like some of the great preachers. The best is yet to come. You know? And we'll switch our TVs on this afternoon and we'll hear some of them say that. Well, I know that 2017 is going to be better for me. But I don't know that for those that don't know Jesus Christ, it's going to be any better at all. And we need to understand this. Because it comes back to Ryan preaching about the Son being sent to represent the Father. It comes back to what I'm saying this morning about the Holy Spirit being sent by the Father and Son to inhabit us. It comes to a fundamental that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are working just as hard in our lives right now as they did in creation so that we can represent the heart of God in 2017. Let me tell you a story. Some of you know the story. But I have a friend, Ryan and I, we have a friend called Tom. And Tom works for a large private corporation. He's a human resources person. In fact, he's the head of human resources. And we had a nightclub invasion, the Pulse nightclub in Florida. You remember that, don't you? All right. And our friend Tom, he's a pastor. And he has a church that is about the same size as this one. And we talk quite a bit. And he's always wondering whether he should give up his day job so that he can become a pastor. And then one day he tells me, oh, look, I'm going down to Florida. And, you know, his corporation had asked this man to go to Florida to minister to I'm not quite sure what the number was, but it was a large number of people who were directly impacted by the attack on the Pulse nightclub. Now, I've never been asked to do that. You know, I've been asked to do other things. I'm sure you've never been asked to do that, but you have been asked to do other things, and you will be asked to do other things because the Spirit of God is within you for just that purpose. You see, you are called, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to represent God as ambassadors of Christ. And the purpose for the Holy Spirit, is to strengthen it, to live within you and strengthen your heart so that you can deliver the goods as far as the nature and character of Christ is concerned. That's what you've been called to do. And it is not by chance. It's by the direct and personal purpose of God in your life that it be so. You with me? Am I being clear enough? Am I making it really clear? The eternal Son given to us by God, born as a child, representing the Father, and so we too represent them in this world. If you don't represent God to this world, then I want to ask you, who's going to? The good news is that God's going to raise up somebody. In fact, I think in one passage of Scripture he says the stones will cry out if nobody else does, you know? So somebody's going to be raised up. But we have to have this ringing in our ears as we go into 2017. What a year 2016 has been. I believe pretty strong that the Bible calls these days the last days, and I believe that we're living in them. The Bible says that in the last days, iniquity, lawlessness will increase. You know that. Those of you that read your Bibles know that iniquity and lawlessness will increase. Jesus himself in Matthew 24 verse 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Right? Verse 13, but the one who stands firm to the end. Now, when he talks about standing firm, he's not talking about, you know, becoming one of those guys, what do they call them? getting ready for being a prepper. Yeah, is that the word that we should use? He's not talking about being a prepper, preparing in that kind of way, standing till the end, down underground in an elongated tube, like a piece of toothpaste, kind of waiting to be squeezed. He's not talking about that. The one who stands firm, doing exactly what we've been called to do. The Spirit of God is in our hearts. We're a light that will never be put out. And I like what you said about the light. You know that I come from a huge beach, 90 miles long. So maybe that one, the one I was on, was maybe longer than that. Was it? Was my one longer? 100 miles long? Longer than 90 mile beach, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. I've just talked myself into it. Ripiro Beach. And so anyway, the amazing thing is that you'd be out there fishing of a night, we used to catch lots of fish. And we used nets and spears and all kinds of things, and as well as lines. But at night, you could put a light on one part of the... Just if you had one of those hurricane lamps, you could put it down. I've told many of you about this before. You could put it down, and then you could drive for miles. And you could look back, and you'd just see that tiny prick of light. That's not what you're talking about this morning. You're not talking about a tiny prick of light in the distance. You're talking about an overwhelming flood tide of light. Because you see, when we leave here, if we take seriously what we're being enjoined to be like this morning, when we leave here, we will be a flood tide of light going all over the city. And the people that God puts in front of you, right? The people that God puts in front of you are the people upon whom He wants His light to shine. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation we might be in. Now, I'm not saying that you go like, oh, where's your hat? You've got your hat. How come you're not wearing your hat? Put your hat on. I need to use your hat as an illustration. You got it there with you? See, this man is totally transformed. I couldn't recognize him when he put his hat on. See, he's a completely different person now, all right, when he puts that hat on. All right, now, God's not calling us just to put a hat on. He's not just calling us to put a hat on. He's calling us to be totally transformed by the light, by the flame that has been placed into each one of us, and to go into whatever situation we might find ourselves in on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, we don't go in yelling, look at my hat, look at my hat, We don't do that, We be. We're the bee people. I know you are, Jody. I know you're a bee person. Yeah. But, we're to be. We're to take what we carry and just be. Not to fight about politics. Not to argue about money or this or that or whatever the case might be, but to represent the nature and character of Christ in the sorry world in which we live. Because if you don't do it, who's going to? All right. So there we are. We're in a time where it's pretty tough. And I could lie to you and say, 2017 is going to be so much better than 2016. All the pus is out of the world now. And we can go on. And no, I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that. Because I think we're in one of those times when Jesus speaking, there's a companion passage to Matthew chapter 24. It's Luke 21. And Jesus is speaking there. He talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. Get that? Men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, your heart may fail you for old age. But I just wanted to get that in. but when men's heart fail them for fear. And for looking towards or about or discussing or being afraid because of those things which are coming on the earth. This is in Luke 21, verse 26. And he goes, Jesus speaking, it's Jesus, all right? And he says, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's a pretty heavy statement. So I can't promise you. I can't say, you've heard all these people saying 2016 was the major annus horribilis, I can't say that 2017 is going to be better than 2016. I can't, because not even Jesus says that. Seems to me that the closer we get to the end, the worse things are going to be. But, there is a but. For all of us goats, there's a but. There's a but. We are filled with the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill the purposes of God. We're here to represent God in this day and age. And He's put you here for this season. He didn't put you here for a season 200 years ago or 200 years before that or whatever. He's put you here for here and now. Okay? So take a deep breath and say, I'm looking forward to whatever comes down the pike in 2017. Why? Because I want to see how God is going to use me to vanquish it. All right? What about all those poor celebrities that have died, eh? Our hearts are touched, aren't they, by these celebrities that have died? They really are. Even though I remember saying to Jill just after this last round, you know, people were saying, gee, 2016, such a rotten year. No, 2016 wasn't too much different from any other year. We have to understand that people live in certain ways and they die because of the way they live. We need to understand that. So-and-so dies of crack. Somebody else dies of opioid drug overdosing. Weakened by drugs, hearts that are weakened by drugs and alcohol or pneumonia because they've caught HIV from a homosexual partner. The list just goes on and on and on. Now, those are the facts. Now, I'm not saying, well, it's their own silly fault. I'm not saying anything like that at all. I'm just saying that we need to recognize, everybody needs to recognize that these things all happen. You know, we like to say things happen for a reason. Well, yeah, they do, most of the time anyway. If we do certain things, we're going to reap what those certain things will do to us. All right? So we need to understand that. But it doesn't change how I feel. The greatest talents in the world are their voices. I mean, who had a better voice than, well, my favorite, Freddie Mercury? How many of you here heard George Michael sing? What a voice! What a voice! And who doesn't remember Princess Leia? Right? What about? I don't know whether you know it, but George Michael was an incredibly generous man. Gave millions of dollars away. Did you know that? You know. So we can't say the world's better off without them because the world is not better off without them. The world's lost them. The world has nothing else to hold on to. Do you realize that? The world's lost them, and they're at a loss without them. And so our hearts have to go out in compassion. Did you hear Prince play? How many people heard Prince play the guitar? Whoa! What was that concert that he did with all those big-name guitar players, and he just took over? Do you remember that one? I can't remember where it was now. But, oh, man, you've got this little guy over there and his fingers are just going up and down that guitar neck. And, oh, man, and he's died. But they're not lost because 2016 was a bad year. It's just normal. It's going to continue to be like this until the blessed hope that you read about. We're lost because of our lifestyles, our carelessness, bad choices, all these kinds of things. So let's look at Titus now. If you could take us on to Titus, Bronwyn, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 11 through 15. Now listen to this. Listen to this. For the grace of God. Now note that word grace. All right? We cannot look out our bubble windows at anybody else and what they're doing. Because, but for the grace of God, that's me. All right? I hope everybody here has a genuine sense of humility as we consider that. Right? It's the grace of God that has appeared. While we were lost in our sin, while we were at enmity with God, He reached down into the darkness of this world and He plucked. That's the word that's actually used. He plucked us up and out. You know? And you know what He did? We sang that song, Mike. Take me past the outer court, into the holy place. You know, the first thing that he did, Paul writes about it in Ephesians, gets so excited about it that he doesn't stop for a breath. The dividing wall has been broken down. That's not referring to the curtain in the temple. That's referring to the dividing wall that kept Gentiles away from the total temple. Broken down. That's before you even get into the temple. And so he's plucked us out. And he said, now come with me. And he just steps over that wall. Takes us up into that outer court. And he says, you belong here now, boy. Because you're my son. You're not an orphan. I've chosen to do this with you. Huh? Did you hear that? And so we're in now into this. Do you know this? This used to be up here, a replica of what I'm talking about. It's just suddenly struck me. They had to desanctify it when we got the place. And I had to take down the bars that kept people out. They call it church junk now. I agree. Separation. Did any of you ever see it? Those big steel bars that were across here, and people could not come in here but the priest to make his offerings under that little red lamp, you know? Right? So I took the bars down, put them down the back there. I remember the guy, the agent, came in. Yeah, it was all gone. He came, what have you done? What? This is a deal breaker. Because I had taken it all away, you see, before we purchased the building, which was the mistake on my part. And so anyway, we got it in the end. Very persuasive I was. All right, so we're in the outer court. We go past the outer court, and we go right into the Holy of Holies. Because we've been made one with Him through Christ Jesus. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Our sin has been taken from us. And we've been given robes of righteousness that are whiter than snow. This is all biblical stuff. You know this is all in the Bible. And so we come into the Holy of Holies and we're there. We're in the presence of God and we're welcome, son. Maybe he even says, Phil. Just like everybody else. Phil, you're welcome here. Phil, you're welcome here. John, we're welcome here. Oh. You know that Jolly Charlie went to breakfast at the hotspot this morning. He didn't tell us about it. And he didn't eat his plate. We'll have to take him to task over that. But here we are, me and Charlie and John. We're not going to be, but we are in the presence of God. And we're welcome there. We're welcome there. Do you get it? This is what the word grace means. It's by grace. It's not been earned. It's by grace you've been saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace. The grace of God has appeared. It had not been there before this. We're talking about 2,000 years ago. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. All people. Do you hear that? The Bible's not pulling our legs here. This New Testament covenant is for real. Salvation has been offered to all people. All people. The sad news is that some turn it down and they reap the reward of what they lose. And it turns 2016 into a bad year. It teaches us to say, listen, you're listening? Verse 12, no to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live what? Self-controlled lives? God has not given to us a spirit of fear. Now, you know, right now, there are people that are totally, totally wiped out by their fear of 2017, what it's going to bring. It's true. It's true. I had a guy tell me that between the two services. Totally wiped out because of fear for 2017. Completely. Can you believe it? But some folks are like that. They're full of fear. And you know what? I have sympathy for that. Who knows? We're not going to be the next nightclub. Who knows? You know what? I don't want to sound callous. Who cares? Because this is the kingdom of God we're in. What was that church down in Savannah? Charleston, was it? Yeah. There. You think they'd want to come back? No, No, they're in the presence of God. Who's going to swap that? We're so fearful about all the wrong things, aren't we? Yeah. It's like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You remember that song? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Have to lighten it up a little bit here right now, right? Yeah. Who was it? Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. 1960. Yeah. Go back a long way. All right. Okay. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, which kill us. To live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. These are the only works that matter. Verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing, it's divine now, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, He is coming again. Verse 14. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. For how long? Until He gets tired of His Christmas present? No, for eternity. His very own people for eternity, eager to do what is good. These then are the things that Phil, you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anybody despise you. All right? So, and Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, if we could put that one up, please, chapter 4, he said, And this is a great passage of Scripture. He says, you know, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God is going to bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. All right? Now, you read one like this, right, from 1 Corinthians 15, right? And so I won't spend much time on this. But He will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. You see, the Bible teaches that to be absent from the body, i.e. what we call dead, is to be, if you're a believer, if you're absent from your body, you're with Christ Jesus. All right? If you are in Christ, you're with Him. Okay? And so the time comes when He returns, and so it says here, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord, if the Lord returns tomorrow and we're alive, right, what will happen to us is that we will precede those who we will not precede those who have fallen asleep, but they'll go first. They'll be there. They're with Christ, and their bodies are joined. They're given their bodies back again, if you like. I don't have time to go on to that. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's those in the grave. And after that, those who are still alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with Him forever. Forever means forever. So therefore, what are we meant to do? We're meant to encourage each other with these things. Hey, man. Hey, if you're a bit slow, I'll grab a hold of you and you can come up with me. All right? You know? What about you? All right, you'll grab me, won't you? Yeah, you'll have the phone. Phil, jump. Jump, Phil, jump. All right? But no, I don't want to make too much humor of it. But the fact of the matter is that this is the blessed hope of every believer. And you've got to understand that it is the blessed hope of every believer. It's not the hope of those that do not believe. They don't have this hope. They don't have this hope. And that's why the Spirit of God was sent by the Father and the Son to take up residence in your life so that your life could be changed from the inside out, so that you could speak of these things to those that have no hope. Are you with me? Am I making it clear? I really hope I'm making it clear, because this is what we're called to in 2017. I read somewhere during the week that we're not to think of years, but to think of lives and lifetimes. Abraham Lincoln, he said, if I had 8 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening the axe. Make a good job. So he's talking about what you need to do before you cut a tree down. Those are called fundamentals. The things that you need to do, need to know about before you can do a job. And there are Christian fundamentals. There are fundamentals that will train us in righteousness for a royal priesthood now. Right? That's what we are. Royal priesthood now. Paul writing to Timothy says that we're farmers. We sow seed, so that makes us farmers. What does a farmer do? He waits for the crop. Okay, he nurtures the crop, waits for the crop to come. The soldiers fighting against unrighteousness, not joining in the fight. You know, we so often, it amazes me how quickly I can take sides. Have you noticed that? We take sides so quickly and rush into the fight. You know, nothing like a good fight. You know what I'm saying? But we're to fight against darkness like soldiers of righteousness. We're to fight against darkness. Not rush in to deal with it. Fight against it with righteousness, because we're soldiers of righteousness. And we know that our future, Paul writing, because these Corinthian folks that you read about, you see, they're arguing and fighting with each other. And some of them are taking each other to court for different reasons. And so he says to them, what on earth are you doing? Why are you taking each other to court? Don't you realize that in the future, you're going to judge angels? Who's he talking about? Put your hand up if you know who he's talking about. Well, who's he talking about? Who? What was that? What? Who? Sorry, I just can't hear it.
Us.
Exactly. Thank you for yelling it out. Yeah, the rest are a little bit timid this morning, so we need you to yell it out. Us. He's talking about us. That we are going to judge angels. I don't know really what that means. But I know Paul also said, what's up there in the future is something that my little pinhead of a brain can't even imagine. Right? Can't imagine it. Can't imagine it. Haven't heard about it? Can't imagine it. There's something coming down the pike that's far bigger than any of us, and we're called to be a part of it with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father sent His Son. Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are sending you into 2017. It's a fundamental. You've got to get that right. We have to understand that that's what we have got to get right in our hearts. We have got to get that right. That we understand that we're not just to go out there and to earn our salary, although we are to earn our salary, right? We're not just to go out there and do a good day's work, although we are to do a good day's work. Fair day's work, fair day's pay, all of that. We're not just called to have a good time, although we are to have a good time. Otherwise we'll get called wowsers and do-gooders. Do you have those terms here? Wowsers and do-gooders. Who wants to be a wowser, right? Yeah, one of those self-righteous, you know, saved written on their underpants somewhere. Who wants to be like that, eh? Hey? Who wants to be like that, you know? I'm saved. It's on my underpants. Yeah. But we're called to speak for God, ambassadors of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So don't worry. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for everything He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard you and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. While we wait for the blessed hope. So this terror threats, this financial uncertainty, all of these family tensions, you might be called to stand in the middle of some kind of family tension. Well, do it, knowing that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and you represent Him as an ambassador of Christ. Now, are you serious? You serious? All right. Because I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up and I want you to lead us in that song. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. How does it start again? Have you got the words down there, Bronwyn? Could you put them up now, please? How does it start? Here I am to worship. All right, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. And this song, by the way, is sung by a lady. There's a guy in it as well. But the lady that's singing it, she called upon the name of the Lord. She's not just making sweet noises, this lady. She knows. She had to call on the Lord. And she knows what it is to be saved. She was saved from pretty bad cancer. And so what I want us to do is just to stand. And as we're singing this song, what's the very first? Can you go to verse 1, please? Go to verse 1. Here we go. We're going to start with this, light of the world, because it represents what we're saying today, you see. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. How many here just step into darkness? Well, there was somebody that did that for us. Stepped into darkness so that we could be plucked from darkness and placed into the light. Open my eyes and let me see. And we're so thankful that we're saying, yeah, God, this morning, what we're saying is, yes, yeah, God, I'm just so thankful, I'm so grateful that you've done this for me. I didn't initiate this, you did. And that, Lord God, I just want to take this time to say, Father, give me such a conviction of your filling of the Holy Spirit that I'm not afraid to be a genuine ambassador of Christ, not representing the various theologies of the world, but representing your heart, Lord God. Is this your prayer? Representing your heart. You know, this, somebody in the last week, I read this, that so often we read the Bible to get information when God wants a conversation. God, converse with our hearts so that we're able to share with this world your heart. We need to be transformed. I know that I need to be transformed. I'm a reactionary know-it-all. You know, Paul has told me, I don't know how many times, I've got a big mouth. I don't know how many times, but she's right, she's true. That's right. And I've got to put me aside and say, God, it's your will. I've got to submit myself to the Lord. Listen to this. It's from the Message. I forgot I had this. It's from Luke 9, Jesus speaking. Then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. This is Luke 9, 23 to 27. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to find yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose yourself, the real you? That's good, isn't it? Don't you realize that this is not pie in the sky by and by? Some who've taken their stand right here and now are going to see it happen. They're going to see with their own eyes the kingdom of God. Lord, let it be so. And as we're singing this song, if you just want to, we're going to stand. So if you could all stand, please. We're going to stand. But it might be that at some stage during the song, you want to kneel down or you want to sit down. And you just want to say, Lord, I submit myself to you. I'm saying, you lead me, Lord God. You lead me. Jesus, you lead me. You might want to come up the front here and just, you know, kneel down at this altar here and do business with God. But I want you to know one thing. We were told this morning that you're not orphans, that God's put a flame in your heart that will not be put out. You will not be rejected. You will be accepted. God will use you for great things in 2017.